you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, October 10th, 2017. If you're tuned in yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, I believe you were blessed by the testimony of Pastor Robert Freeman. He's the church right next door to the Great News Radio Center here at Lincoln Square, the First United Methodist Church of Urbana. And boy, off air, he told me more of his testimony and his heart for people throughout this area. And so if you don't have a church home, let me highly recommend you attending the First United Methodist Church of Urbana, and I'll have him back in the coming days because he's going to try to bring in Tony Evans and Crawford Loritz and other speakers and musicians and artists just to raise awareness of our great Lord and the unique work that he desires to do right here in our community. But today, we have four special guests in the studio. In fact, we're going to be going around the world all the way to Romania and back, because she now lives in Atlanta, Georgia, but we're going to talk about the special work that God is doing through Operation Christmas Child, as this was a recipient many years ago of one of those shoe boxes. So before we hear a little of this special gift that is in the United States now living, Livia, I'm going to introduce a friend that was on a recent trip to Israel, February and March, Loretta, who told me about her interest and her passion for this ministry and why I should have somebody come into the studio. So introduce what we're going to be talking about today.
So we're going to talk about Operation Christmas Child. It's a project that's from Samaritan's Purse, and it's a simple project to get involved with, and it's meant to give gifts around the world and to show God's love in a tangible way. And Livia actually received a shoebox, so she gets to tell her story and the impact it has in her life.
Now, you wanted me to have these people in because you've been volunteering for a couple years, a couple seasons. What was the passion behind you saying, Mark, you got to learn more about Operation Christmas Child?
So I started getting involved in this project because I love kids, and it was a way of sharing God's love. And so I started working about 4 years ago. Although I volunteered and packed shoeboxes much longer than that. And so it's just been a real passion of mine to try to get other people involved and to get more people to pack shoeboxes so that we can see changes around the world.
Now, Joe and Scott, is Loretta doing a decent job? You've traveled all the way in, so what's going on and why devote time here in Illinois?
Well, she's doing a fantastic job, and we really appreciate all of her hard work, and we've been blessed to get to know her and her heart for children and packing shoeboxes. The lower Midwest region is made up of Illinois, except for the Chicagoland area, along with Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska. So we have 42 teams that are volunteers. And Loretta is one of the area coordinators. So she leads a team here in the East Central, Illinois. And she builds the knowledge base and the volunteer base to pack more shoeboxes so that the gospel message can be preached to more children.
And who's to your left, the sidekick over here named Joe?
Well, Joe is our director, and he heads up the whole lower Midwest region.
Now, I'm trying to get you introduced so we can get you guys out of the way so Livia can share some of her story, because she was personally impacted years ago, and I want her to take us through that whole journey and why she's now not only an advocate, but I think you're one of the national spokesmen for the Samaritan's Purse and the special project. So, Joe, why are you investing time and energy and effort into this?
So, Mark, there are 400 million children in India today, and there's less than 330 million people in America. So there's more kids in India than there are people in America. And we want to take the good news and great joy of Operation Christmas Child to kids around the nations. Kids don't know Jesus. I was a little kid. I was a little pagan kid, and the next-door neighbor invited me to church. My life, my family's life was changed forever because I met Jesus. And we know the power of a simple shoebox gift is this. We present the gospel with every shoebox gift that's given out, and so lives like Livia's are changed forever. And so that's what we're about. We're about the good news, taking it around the world. And so we want to encourage people. This is a great project. There's great integrity in the leadership stewardship of the ministry. And so we know that when people pack a shoebox, it's getting into the hands of a child, the gospel's being presented, and children have a potential of having their lives changed for eternity.
And we have somebody in the studio that happened to, and so do you want to formally introduce her?
Absolutely. Well, this is Livia Young. She is a tremendous young woman of God whose life was touched by a simple shoebox gift, and we'll let her tell her story.
Okay.
Well, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to the Great News Radio studio, and so it's great to have you here. I was going to say all the way from Romania, but you've been in the United States for a number of years, currently living in Atlanta.
Yes, Mark, thank you so much for having me and the team. Yes, I actually happened to receive a shoebox when I was living in a Romanian orphanage. I lived in an orphanage for 10 years of my life, and there was a lot of disparity in the orphanage, and there was not just 20 or 50 children. It was hundreds of children aging 2 to 18. And imagine all of us are just hating each other, jealousy, anger, stealing. But among all of that, there was something that was truly missing in our lives that we actually had in common, but we did not express it out. And that one piece was the absence of being loved. Mm-hmm. We were so neglected to the point where when we would go to bed, it would get really quiet, and all you would hear would be the bed squeaking, because all of us would rock ourselves to sleep because that was our only way of comforting ourselves. Right. And the orphanage life was not the best life. I mean, I actually was in a place that was called the best state orphanage. The hygiene items were very, very low. I'm talking about to the point where I don't even remember brushing my teeth, but if I did, I had to share my toothbrush with other children in the orphanage. Wearing the same pair of clothes for a week, same underwear, same pairs of socks. In addition to that, to take baths after 5 or 10 children was even more gruesome to me because I hated it. Mm-hmm. And so the life was a dark place to live in, and as I lived my life there, I really longed for two things to happen in my life, and the two things were to be loved. Mm-hmm. And it was very hard to be given, and then at the same time I also longed to have my very own set of hair clips. We all know children have dreams to become somebody, dreams to be something, but my dream was to have something so simple that I could never ever get a hold of having it.
And I see you have a couple of hair clips in today. I have the one photo here, and I didn't see any hair clips. You have this nice long brown hair, shorter hair with hair clips today.
Yes.
But there was somebody that did bring you some hair clips. Tell us a little of that story, and then how birthed out of that was your adoption, right?
Yes, absolutely. So in 1999, when I was 12 years old, Operation Christmas Child came to my orphanage, and it was a day full of sunshine, full of warmth, nothing that we ever even expected to happen. And when they came, at the same time, a mission team from United States, Georgia, in Newnan, Georgia, they came, and they started doing missions at the same time they happened to be there when they were distributing the shoeboxes. And so I connected to a lady named Connie Satterfield, who I literally became super glued to her because the orphanage was so desperate of having someone to cling on to. I saw Connie and I said, this is my opportunity. This is my chance of ever experiencing love or someone holding my hand, giving me a hug or even look me in the eyes. And I could not give up on that opportunity. And it was really sad because, I mean, as we hear the news about people coming and visit our place, our immediate reaction is kind of like Black Friday in the United States, where you just drop everything you do and you just run to the store to get what you want. Right. For us, we were racing for love. We were racing for attention. And when I raced there and I saw Connie, I grabbed her and I just made her mine. I became very selfish. I hoarded her to myself, making sure no other child was being part of Connie, because, like, I cannot say it enough. This is my opportunity. I cannot lose it. And this was very first time for Connie's experience of doing missions, and she was able to partake on a distribution. And she handed me a shoebox that was not even hers, Mark. It was not hers. But she handed me a box out of the stack, and before we could even open them, they started sharing with us two big news. I was 12 years old back then, and when they told us about the gospel, really opened my eyes. Because, Mark, in that place, we were very protected from hearing the gospel. All we did in the worship kind of quote-unquote was by making cross signs across our body, kiss the pictures of Jesus being on the cross, but there was never a reason why am I doing all of this.
Right.
It would even get to a point where we would get on our knees and recite the Lord's Prayer facing a direction thinking we are going to face God, but there was never an explanation. And when they told us the story by using a salvation bracelet, the black, the red, the white, that really opened my mind to understand that for 10 years, kissing this God on the cross really was finally revealed. And I was like really shocked about it. How can someone truly do love me? this is really for real? And then they talked more about people like you who packed shoe boxes because you love us. And at 12, I'm thinking, why are you doing this for me? I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. I would have to know you for you to love me or for me to love you back. And when she handed me the box and we started opening the box, I want to give the audience a picture of what our excitement was like. And this is the best way I can make anybody understand it. All right, so we have a 1 liter size Coca-Cola, and we have a one package of Mentos. And you shove every single Mentos in that 1 liter size Coca-Cola, and we know what happens, right? It explodes. That really was the kind of joy we had in us. We could not contain it any longer. And when we opened the boxes, all you could hear is screaming and laughter. And the fragrance of the hygiene items was up in the air. And the pages of the books being flipped and candy wrapper back then when it was allowed, we would all eat it. And we're just so excited. And that's when I saw my very own set of hair clips at the top of my shoebox gift. And I just could not believe. How can something so simple that we take for granted just make my dream come true? Mark, my reaction was to immediately take that packet out, tear it open, and try to put every single hair clip in my hair. I did not leave a single one behind. And Connie's looking at me like, calm down, Livia. Just, why won't you just put one to the right and one to the left, and you will look much better. And I'm like, no, I want all the hair clips in. So it was just neat to see how my dream just came true because one of us thought about putting something that we actually take for granted in the United States, and it eventually ended up in my own hands.
Now, you have this bracelet on, and they were there for a few days or a week, and they were beginning to kind of nurture along in that faith journey. Did you begin to start praying right away that there could be a relationship with this God, or was that a period of time, that sanctification process where you learned more, you read the Bible, and things started making sense? When did that clarity start coming where you were like, wow, I think I really am talking to God. He's answering my prayers. I think he really does love me. I mean, it really got into your heart.
Right. So it goes back to the shoebox. So what got me to that sanctification moment was when I found the final piece in the box, which was a best friend's necklace. And that best friend's necklace was a token I could give back to Connie for thanking her for giving me the shoebox, thanking her for sharing the gospel, thanking her for loving on me, even though I did not share her with anybody else. But I was very grateful. So I shared the necklace with Connie, and when I shared the necklace with her, I told her I loved her in her own language, and that's when God clearly spoke to Connie that she needed to adopt me.
And really, first time. I mean, first 3 days of meeting you.
Exactly. And so when Connie went back home to the host family she was staying with, she literally got on her knees and sobbed and prayed to God that this will be his will. And she made a deal with God saying, God, if I stop praying for this child to be mine, then you don't want her to be mine. But if I continue till the end of the day when I pick her up on one of those years to be my daughter, then that is your will. So when Connie decided to adopt me, I was actually transferred to a Christian home where I was able to see a complete different environment. An environment that children were happier, there was always devotions going on, and that's when my interest sparked. And I was like, I want to be that happy child too. I want to see what they have. And so that's when the same year that I received my shoebox on a winter day, never forget, I was skin and bones, froze to death, but my heart was full of warmth and joy to know that I had Jesus in my heart.
And so that was about, that adoption process was about a 2-year period. So basically, Connie returns back to the United States, struck by the work of the shoeboxes, the power, the relationships, that you cling to her, and that it seemed like God orchestrated that. She's now praying. So somewhere during that time, she had shown an interest in adopting you, and so they transitioned you from the orphanage into a home, kind of like what, to get you ready to be adopted? How does that work?
Yes, so Connie's goal, the number one goal, was for me to be transferred from that orphanage to a Christian home, where it was about 30 other children. She knew about this home because that mission team specifically helped them build it. So she wanted me to be out of the orphanage so that I would make sure that I would not get picked on. Because if children found out that other children were being adopted into the United States, jealousy will build up really fast. So she wanted to protect me for the better.
Okay, so you're in this home. You're starting to develop that relationship with God. You're seeing people modeling prayer and love and healthy interactions, reading the scriptures. When did more and more meaning come from God's word? Like, did you find verses that started speaking to you that you felt like God's talking to me through John 3:16 or various passages?
I think I felt it more with the preachings, what it was being taught to me. But going back to the verses, one of my very first Bible verses I learned was John 3:16, mm-hmm. and I thought that was the longest verse of my life.
Yeah.
That took me forever to learn. But yeah, that was it was more through what they were preaching to us.
Okay. Now fast forward it, Connie and her family, mm-hmm. they get the processing, the paperwork. You come to the United States the first time. This is all kind of new because you have a loving, I believe, father and mother. Mm-hmm. Were there other siblings in that family?
A brother.
Okay, a brother. Mm-hmm. So describe your land in the United States. What was that first week, month, that first year of transition?
So when I came to the United States, I first cried. I cried and cried and cried because I wanted to go back. I was 14 years old, and yeah. I just literally left everything. I was surprised by how many trees. From the airplane down, the trees was completely a shock. The cars, nobody's walking. The stores, how big they are. The air conditioning during summertime where you freeze your bones to death. The amount of supply we have here, the fastest way of cooking food was amazing for me. The education level was a higher level and more hours involved. So as I live my life in the United States, I've noticed that we Americans like get involved in materialism. But as I've noticed over the years, we Americans are also very generous. And Operation Christmas Child is all about giving back. And I know we Americans can do that because we are provided with the right materials, with the right resources to be able to go out and pack shoeboxes.
And so you're now adjusting into this new family. Mm-hmm. When did you start feeling the prodding that God was going to say, hey, now it's time to give back to Samaritan's Purse? And,
yeah.
And how were you nurtured along where you seized that opportunity and welcomed it? Okay, Lord, I'm not used to being a public speaker. I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. Some would say out of my comfort zone into God's courageous zone where you had to learn to lean into Him and then be used by Him.
Yeah, I actually applied for a distribution to take place in Costa Rica. And once I applied there, they really encouraged me to go out and share my story. And I said, yeah, I could do that. I love people. And since 2005, I've been able to go out to schools, churches, and events and just share the impact that this ministry has on every single child that comes in contact with the shoebox gift. So, it was just God took me to a distribution place, and from there on, in 2005, I started speaking.
So that's been about 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
I see a wedding ring, so how did that come together, and how are things going? Do you have family, and where yet?
Well, we're just a family of nine. We just have 6 chickens, 2 dogs, and a cat.
Okay.
But I just met my husband back in Blockbuster days when they used to exist,
sure.
And then we just took on from there.
And you have chickens?
Yeah,
I have 6 chickens myself. So
okay.
If you were at the home studio, you'd see them walking by. They're free range, so they come peck on the window. I hand them out treats, keep them well tended to, and then they'll peck every time. So what are your goals and hopes for the coming weeks and months? As I know there's going to be a couple special area drop-off locations, and maybe that'll be addressed in our closing minute or two, but if you were going to pray to God for our Great News Radio listeners to respond, how would that prayer be realized?
Mine would be to that people will be willing to pack shoeboxes,
mm-hmm.
that people will see the powerful message behind this program that we have, and that they will be able to give back, because we have so much, why don't we give back? And that's a way of being a missionary. You may not be able to go to a country, but you can be a missionary packing the shoebox gift with filled items and just praying over it and then sending it off to a third world country.
So, Joe or Scott, do one of you want to address maybe some of the nuts and bolts or the specifics on how we can alert the listeners to get involved or what to be saving now? Or do you need cash or time or energy? Or what in the coming weeks or months can our listeners be aware of?
Absolutely. Well, so it's exciting that you can take a simple shoebox gift,
mm-hmm.
fill it with hygiene items, school supplies, a wow gift like a soccer ball that you take the air out of, put a pump in there, get some other toys, fill that shoebox gift, put $9 in it to cover the shipping costs, and take it to one of your local drop-off locations. You can look on the Samaritan's Purse website. It's live now for the zip code locator. You just put your 5-digit zip code in there. It'll tell you the drop-off location that's most close to the home where you live or your zip code. After you discover where the drop-off location is, you'll be tuned in to the third week of November, which is November 13th through 20th this year, and then you'll take your shoebox gifts to that location and drop them off. So now's the time to gather things, look for sales of different items that you can put. I personally I have 3 sons, so I like to go when I pack a shoebox and get stuff for a little girl's shoebox because I don't have any granddaughters yet
sure.
or any daughters, so that's just a way for me to give to children. And so it's just an amazing thing that we get to participate in because we know that when you pack one shoebox, you're a missionary. And, you know, as Livia Lydia was pointing out about Americans, one of the things I've learned in this last 5 years of being a regional director is that Americans are very generous. Mm-hmm. Our goal is 800,000 shoeboxes in these five states this year. It's our prayer goal. We're praying for God to move. And so God's been doing great things. The first year, 24 years ago, there were 28,000 shoeboxes. So our goal this year is 9.5 million and 12 million internationally. There are other countries that participate in sending shoeboxes as well. So 12 million shoeboxes is amazing. And so we've 24 years, we've given 146 million shoeboxes. And again, there are millions and millions of children who've never heard the gospel. And so our hope is to continue to multiply our values, our evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. Mm-hmm. We also have ways to get involved. If you'd like to learn more about that, you can also look on the Samaritan's Purse website, volunteering. But right now, we'd like for you to focus on packing shoeboxes, getting into the drop-off locations. We want to bring good news and great joy around the world.
And that'll be about a month away. The drop-off locations will start receiving those boxes. You can find out more at SamaritansPurse.org, SamaritansPurse.org, and you type in your zip code. And
yeah, there's a zip code locator. It'll show right you there. Yeah, it'll show you right where to go.
Livia, how about you closing out our time in prayer and any closing comments in our minute or two that we have left?
All right. Remember, this project is super easy. Even a toddler can do it. Just go to Dollar General or even Walmart and start shopping for things, school supplies, hygiene items, clothing, any toys you want. But I just cannot thank you enough for all of the ones who have been packing shoeboxes. Mm-hmm. You truly do send us the message of Jesus Christ, and we do get to be impacted for life. Mm-hmm. So I can go ahead and close us in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for giving us just another day for us to live our lives for you. I pray that as these listeners have been listening to this program, that you open their eyes and open their hearts, that they can be involved just that easy. I pray that, God, if this is your will, you will multiply these shoeboxes in this area, and that every child who will come in contact with these boxes will be able to be impacted for life, because this is the goal of the ministry, for us to get involved in packing boxes and sharing the gospel across the world. Thank you for always sacrificing your son to die on a cross for us, and that we may live another day for you, and that we may give everything for you. In your name I pray. Amen.
And all of God's people said,
Amen.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, if you just tuned in, this program is archived at greatnewsradio.org. Livia Young representing Operation Christmas Child. It's happening in our area in the next month. You can be finding out more information by stopping by SamaritansPurse.org. That's SamaritansPurse.org. And if you missed portions of today's program, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org and go to our archive programs page. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.